We open our Bibles today to the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. And I really do encourage you to read that, to read these two chapters. Of course, we will not be looking at every verse, but I think if you start to read those chapters, you'll find it very difficult to put it down. It's just that part of the Bible, you know, that's history, and it's exciting history, and it really has a lot of good qualities to recommend it to us. Charlie, thanks for those words. Appreciate that very much. We give thanks to God today for many things, and certainly for having the opportunity to be together today. We have a good crowd today, you know, just and glad that you're here. We have several visitors. Glad that you've come our way. Every third Sunday, we have potluck right after our morning services in our fellowship hall right over here. And don't feel like you are not welcome, because you are. We always have plenty of food. So if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. We want to invite you to come and share that with us. You'll be our welcome guest. And anyway, you're welcome to come and do that. We do it immediately after our services. Our services this morning. Now tonight we won't have service, if you're not used to that, so we have a little devotional after our potluck over there in the building, but we don't have evening service on our third Sunday. You know, what we've been doing lately on Sunday morning is looking at different Bible examples, and we're going to continue that today. In fact, the one that we've chosen today is sort of like the one that we had last week, even though they're separated by centuries. You remember last week we talked about Timothy? And we had a key text that said that Paul thought that Timothy was very unique. He said, I don't have anybody else like him. And you go over to the book of Numbers in chapter 14, a key text that was read a few moments ago, and we're introduced to another fellow by the name of Caleb. And in essence, God says the same thing. I don't have anybody else like Caleb. He has a different spirit in him, he says. Of course, there he's talking about the 10 spies that came back with a negative report about the promised land. We can't do it. But Caleb had a different spirit, and he not only says that, it says he followed me fully. He was going to be rewarded for that. So you got Caleb in the Old Testament, you got Timothy in the New Testament. And they really stand out as, I guess you might say, examples of faith, both of them. And every age, there's people like that. People that make a difference because they are different. They've given their hearts to God in service. And we have people like that here today as well. I think it ought to be a great encouragement to us to know that God recognizes that type of thing. Those who serve in that way. I know that's always been true, but you know, you think about the New Testament record that says, even a cup of cold water given in His name shall not go unrewarded. God recognizes, and He makes a distinction between those who serve Him and those that don't in every generation. Certainly we want to be on that side that stands with God and stands there in faith like Caleb when everybody else was against the plan. Caleb and Joshua were right there. We're talking mostly about Caleb today. He's one of those. Joshua's is better known because of the role that he plays later on in the Bible and taking the promised land. But Caleb stands out as an individual that we ought to follow in a lot of different ways. When you look at this text, you look at, you look at the things, I guess, that went before. And they were down in Egypt for centuries. And they prayed to God, God, get us out of this mess. And God finally answers the prayer and He gets Moses. And Moses is reluctant, you remember, but finally God convinces Moses to go, and he goes and with Aaron, and they stand there before Pharaoh, and they work these 10 plagues that talked about in the Bible, magnificent things that God does by His power. And finally, when He gets them down to the Red Sea, He opens up the Red Sea. And after that, of course, the Egyptians follow, and He folds the Red Sea up and covers them, destroys them. Takes the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, He gives them the law, He demonstrates His awesome power and ability in every way. There's the tabernacle that's built, there's the glory cloud representing the presence of God. benefited in every way. Water in the wilderness. And yet you get to this point, and this is a point that God was leading them to all along. He had promised for ages the promised land through the patriarchs. And they send out 12 spies. You remember one individual from each tribe, most famous ones, Joshua and Caleb. And they go and they walk through the promised land. And they come back with a report. Moses says, bring us a report of what you see. And if you can, bring back some of the good fruit of the land. Of course, you got this picture of two men carrying this stick between them on their shoulders. And on this stick, they got cluster of grape, enormous pomegranates, I think it says, and figs, all from the promised land, what God had promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of the guys said, yeah, but you won't believe what else is there. I mean, they got walled cities and giants. There's a force there that we just cannot conquer. I don't think we ought to go. And that's when the Bible says Caleb had a different spirit about him. And you have to admire that about him, because he was willing to go against what the majority thought there. And they were his kin, they were his brethren, and they were pushing in one direction of unbelief. And Caleb said, no, that's not right. It's not like Caleb, you know, one of the first things that stands out to me about Caleb, it's not like he was ignoring the obstacles that were there. He wasn't ignoring any of that. He saw the same thing that they saw. He saw the walled cities. He saw the giants in the land. He saw the enormous different nations that were there that had occupied that territory for ages. If anybody, and you know this is a great benefit in a war, to know the land. If anybody knew the land, they knew the land. And yet God said, go up there and take it. Nevertheless, even though Caleb said, yes, there's obstacles there. There's terrible things there that we're going to have to meet. But his way of thinking was, well, God promised it. God's going to be with us, and so we're going to get it. God is more powerful, you see, than their walls. God is more powerful than their cities. God is more powerful than their giants. So why can't we do it? You know, you might say that's some simplicity. I call it simple faith. Yeah. And it's good to have that childlike spirit that believes that God can do anything. And that if we follow God, we can also conquer the things that are obstacles in our life. It was no different when the church started out. I can't imagine what it must have been like when the church started in Acts 2. The apostles were gathered together there, and you remember how they had crucified the Lord. They had put him on a cross, put him in the grave. And then to go back to the same city that had brought that condemnation upon their Lord and to be told to start right there and preach the gospel, that could be a very fearful situation. It was an obstacle that they were able to overcome because they believed in the resurrection and that God would be with them. And you go over to chapter 3 and 4, and the apostles are arrested and put in prison. You go over to chapter 5, you got Ananias and Sapphira, and that situation where they lied to God and were killed for it. In Acts 6, you have the Grecian widows that were being forsaken and the daily ministration of food. And you remember 7 men that were appointed deacons to take care of that situation. And then in chapter 8, the whole church is scattered everywhere because of a guy named Saul of Tarsus. It was like a wild boar in a vineyard, tearing everything asunder. And then you got the situation that comes up in the book of Acts, shall we allow Gentiles or not? And the question is taken up to the Jerusalem conference. What I'm saying to you is when you look at the book of Acts, always we notice there is great growth there. But we should not ignore the obstacles that were there. They had obstacle after obstacle in the book of Acts. Sometimes it was from outside persecution and sometimes it was from within the church. But there were always obstacles, and yet the church kept growing, expanding, just as God told them to do. Because like Caleb, they had people there that were of a different spirit. They just thought they could do it because God was with them. Don't tell us no. We're going to go. We're going to start at Jerusalem, and we're going to spread the gospel all the way to Rome. And it doesn't matter what comes up, there must be a reason for that obstacle. We're going to overcome that obstacle, and we're going to learn. We're going to persevere through it all. When we look around us today, and the church is no different, you personally in your life, as a Christian, you have obstacles, things that you have to deal with, things sometimes that torment the mind and the soul and the body. But you can do it because of God, because of the faith that you have in Him, and you know His continual presence in your life. And you even know that the Bible teaches us that we're to count it all joy through our manifold trials, because it is the testing of our faith. And what's going to come out of it is a stronger faith and a closer relationship with Almighty God. You're going to be blessed even through that. You know, and I know many of you can identify with that. You've been there. You've done that. And those that are doing it right now, I just encourage you to be strong in the Lord and be like a Caleb. Have a different spirit. Don't fold. Don't give up. Grow and develop your own soul. And congregations like this one, we have our obstacles that are before us, but we've got to have the spirit of Caleb. It's especially important that our leaders have that and our deacons have that. All of us together need to be of that frame of mind, of faith, the ability to overcome. So it's not like he was Pollyanna type faith where there were no obstacles. You know, he didn't see any problems. He said, yes, there's problems, but we got God on our side. That's the difference. And he recognized that. I think about that, but I think about really what kind of put Caleb over the top was he not only saw the obstacles, but he said, but the land is full of so many good things. It's just like God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at these grapes, pomegranates, and figs. The land is filled with it, and it's just there for the taking. God's given it to us as a possession. Notice that. God's given it to us as a possession. It's our inheritance. We possess it. All we got to do is go get it. And the other said, no, I'm not so sure about that. Don't think we can. I think there's a great lesson in that because, and of course, they had literal giants to deal with. But oftentimes when our problems are before us and the things that we're dealing with and our obstacles, they become in our sight giants. And we focus in on that giant. And sometimes we forget all the good things that God has given us. It's not to say that the giant isn't there. There were giants in the land. But Caleb said, but look, it's just like God promised. This is a wonderful place. It's going to be ours. The patriarchs heard the promise. We're here to cash in. Makes me think of some of the passages in the New Testament where, you know, the inspired writers used that type of thinking. You remember Philippians. In fact, I kind of wanted to turn to this passage this morning. It's a passage that fits right in with what we're saying. This is Philippians in the second chapter. Notice the way he's thinking here as he exhorts these brethren at Philippi. Philippians 2 and verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit and intent on one purpose. Do nothing through selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. So they had their problems at Philippi, but he's trying to get them to get along and work with one another, and he uses as his prime example Jesus Christ. And his humility, leaving heaven and coming to earth, being a servant. And he says, serve one another, love one another. But what I really like is the way he starts it. If therefore there is, and he names all these good things, if there is any of these things in Christ, then won't you do this? And so what Caleb is saying, yeah, I know there's problems, but look at all the good things that are there. So why not go get the good things? And that's the way we need to think. When we see our giants and our personal problems and discouragements in our life, we need to take a moment of reflection and think about all the good things that God has done for us in our life. How greatly we have been blessed in our life. I think that's what Caleb was doing. Another passage that does that is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 through 3, where he's encouraging the Christians to grow, and he says, listen, he talks about sins, and he says, you need to put these sins aside, and he says, you need to long for the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then notice what he says. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You see what he's doing? He's challenging them. Has God blessed you? Have you seen that God is kind, that he is good, and that he's forgiving? If you've seen all that, then why not put your mind to it, put your heart into it? Why not grow in the Lord? Well, that's Caleb. Caleb said, you can talk about all obstacles you want to talk about, but what I see is a great spiritual blessing from God, and I'm not going to forget what God has already done for us, where he's taken us, and what he's going to do for our children. And I'm going to act upon that. You know, it takes faith to do that. You have to overcome a lot sometimes to do that in your life. It's an amazing thing why Caleb should be our example, don't you think? Along those lines, we can all follow that example. We need to. One thing that Caleb really dealt with in his life was fear. Don't you know that's a fearful situation? Can you see these 12 guys separating themselves from the multitude of the nation of Israel, crossing that boundary and going over to the hill country and the Anak giants, walled cities? Think about how secretive they had to be as they explored around there and saw all the things that they saw. But there is a difference in a man who fears and a man who is overcome by fear. I don't think any of us would ever say that we've never been fearful. But that was a difference with Caleb, because Caleb, he understood that that was a great challenge that was before them. But he also understood that he wasn't going to be overcome by fear. He was going to overcome fear by faith. And the other 10, their fear got such a grip on them that they wouldn't act upon what God told them to act upon. A lot of times congregations are possessed by this. And you can see it in individual congregation. You know, every congregation kind of has its own personality. And sometimes that personality can change through the years. I mean, you can look back 5 or 10 years ago and you say, well, here was the way of thinking or the personality in that congregation. And you look, but here has a different personality now. And what's it going to be like 10 years from now? And sometimes you come into a congregation and there's just this cloud of fear over the congregation, of division, of anger. The congregation is scared to death to move and take a challenge. A challenge that might mean souls being won, expansion for the congregation, but it is burdened by fear instead of faith. And I think that's what's going on here with these 10 guys. We're not going up there. We're fear for our lives and the fear for all of our people. We're not going to go. And Caleb stands up and says, you need some faith is what you need. And your faith will overcome your fear, because if you fear God, who else is there to fear? And I stand before Almighty God, the one who has delivered us. These people, they don't intimidate me. I'm walking with God. That's Caleb for you. That's why we need to be like Caleb, I think. How many times in the Bible, by the way, just get out your concordance sometimes or your computer and fear not. All the way through the Bible, fear not, fear not. Jesus was always saying it to his disciples. You know why? Because he knew that if they were overcome by fear, their faith wouldn't mean anything. There's only one way to conquer that fear, and that's through faith in God. Even in the Old Testament, of course, you find this. You remember Abraham in Genesis in the 15th chapter in verse 1. Abraham, you know, he had been in the battle of the kings. Remember that? There were 6 nations against 5 kings. And they had this great battle, Sodom and Gomorrah, a lot being rescued, Melchizedek coming out. And all that happens in Genesis 14. And then God comes to Abraham in Genesis 15, the very first verse, and he says, Abraham, fear not. So I don't know if perhaps there was a chance of reprisal by those other kings, you know, getting back together and continuing in warfare. But God comes to Abraham, and who's Abraham? Abraham is the father of the faithful. If he's known for anything, he's known for faith. But still, God came to Abraham, and he said, you watch that fear. Don't you fear them people. Don't you fear taking this land. I give it to you. You go get it. It's an amazing thing to me that he would say that to a man like that. You remember Joseph when he had been taken captive down in Egypt, and of course he arose to a status, power, and he was able to save his own people when they came to him, his brothers, and his brothers recognized him who he was, and their father died, Jacob, and they thought that Joseph was going to do them harm. And you remember the first thing Joseph said? He said, "Fear not. Don't worry about it. I know you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." What's that mean? That means he had faith in the plan of God despite, remember all the problems he had? Despite all the problems that came into his life, he had faith in God that it was going to work out for good. Even though you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Don't fear. I like that. And of course, there was Peter who wanted to get out of the boat one day. We always brag on Peter because he did get out of the boat and nobody else did. And he started to walk on the waves toward Jesus. Jesus said, "Come." He did. But when he saw the wind and the sea, he began to sink. There was fear over faith. Caleb is of a different spirit because his faith is tremendous. He can overcome those obstacles that are there. And so can we as a congregation, as individuals in our life, as we fight the good fight of faith to live for Christ. Who do you believe in? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you believe in God. Right? You believe in the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty. You believe He's your Father. Right? You believe He's with you. And so with the spirit that Caleb had, we can overcome the difficulties in our life and walk the Christian walk. Resources, that's what he's talking about. Our resources are unlimited because we got God on our side. We're out here in the wilderness. We don't have walled cities. We don't have all the conveniences that they had of built homes, established governments, and weapons, and chariots, and all that good stuff. We don't have that, but look at our resource. We got God. And we're going to do it with God's help. I guess maybe Moses would remember when he stood before Pharaoh. When he finally went, God told him to go, and all he had was a staff in his hand. He stood before the most powerful man in the world at that time, or the most powerful army in the world, and all he had was a staff in his hand. And God said, "I can work with that." We may not have much, but if we've got the resource of God, he can lead us to victory in our personal lives and as a congregation. We can overcome the problems that we're looking at. It's amazing. I told you to read those chapters. I really hope you do. And when you leave here, maybe it's fresh on your mind from a previous reading. But if you remember in Numbers 13 and 14, the situation got so bad. Despite the encouragement of Caleb and Joshua, the situation got so bad that the whole multitude began to believe the negative report. And they took up a murmur and a grumbling against Moses. And they wanted to stone them. And they said, "We're going to elect another leader and we're going to go back to Egypt." Can you imagine that? Now, kind of fill in the blanks here. You know what happened to the 10 immediately? The 10 were overcome by a plague from God and they died. The others, many of them, wandered in the wilderness there for 40 years and died there without ever setting foot on the promised land. This is the problem with unbelief and a lack of faith. Their attitude was, those that did not believe, we should have died in Egypt. If this is where you're going to lead us, to be out here and to face an enemy like this in the wilderness, we should have just died in Egypt. Or, they said, when we got in the wilderness, I wish we'd died in the wilderness instead of being here. And then, they say, if we go into the promised land, we're going to die there anyway. Talk about pessimist. These guys didn't believe in any good thing that God was going to do for them. And again, this is when, with all this murmuring and complaining and grumbling, and does that sound familiar? It probably sounds familiar because we have a tendency still to do that a lot, don't we? But amidst all this murmuring and grumbling and complaining against God and seeing nothing but a bad outlook for everything, lack of faith, doubting God, Caleb steps up and said, don't do that. I'm telling you right now, you shouldn't do that. Don't rebel against God. You got to love Caleb. Even though they didn't believe, he was trying to prevent them from going into further crime against God and apostasy. And a man of faith will have courage like that, to stand up and do that. And so all of you who believe, all of you who think that everything is possible with God and this congregation and that we can overcome and that we can grow and that we can mature and we can do it all while being united and spiritually strengthened within our own souls, all of you who believe that, help those that don't believe it. Say an encouraging word to them. Encourage them. Because that's what Caleb would do. Caleb stood before the doubters and said, no, we're not going in that direction. No way. He knew the sin of rebelling against God. Not a good thing at all. One thing we see from this lesson is the fact that, you know, we can go into complacency or we can step out in faith. And the reason we like complacency, notice here the children of Israel. We want to go back to Egypt. We were there for hundreds of years. And remember, they cried to God to get them out of Egypt. But now they want to go back to Egypt. Or can't we just stay here in the wilderness and wander around out here, you know, back there where we were. We were comfortable there. But here, going into the promised land, what a challenge. Do you know what that is? That's a step out in faith. And it's so easy for us to be complacent because we are comfortable where we are instead of accepting the challenge of faith. The Bible says, does it not, that we walk by faith and not by sight? And God is saying to Joshua and Caleb, why don't you just believe me? I know you can't see it yet, you and the promised land taking it all, but why don't you just believe me? It's going to be done. You walk by faith, not by sight. Congregations that are afraid and complacent say, I kind of like it where we are. I've heard people even say, you know, I don't think we really want to grow. Really, I have. I've heard people say, I don't know if we want any new people in here. Kind of like it the way it is, you know, kind of comfortable. We're used to our old ways of doing things. We don't want it to change. And I'm not talking about doctrine or fundamentals. I'm talking about just the way we do things, you know. What kind of thinking is that? We have to accept the challenge of faith and not be complacent. Get out of the easy chair and see what God wants you to do. Caleb is pushing them in that direction. I'll give you one last thought, and I give you this last thought, and same time telling you that sometimes entire sermons are built around this last thought. And it comes not from Numbers, but from Joshua. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. So they finally do get there, you know. Yeah. 40 years. Well, how old is Caleb? You know, he believed, but he had to stay too in the wilderness for 40 years. Sometimes you suffer because of the unbelief of others. Caleb did not give up. He was still strong. Do you know he was about 85 years old when they got over there? And they're looking around about, you know, who's going to do this battle and who's going to do this battle. And here you got Caleb stands up and he looks at the region of Anak. And that region was the region that was possessed by the giants. And he said, hey, Joshua, give me this mountain. This is what I want. 85 years old, he says, you give it to me. Now he said, for my strength is not abated. I'm as strong today as I was then. Now it could be. Do you remember what God did for the Israelites in the wilderness? The soles of their shoes did not wear out. There was food on the ground every day, manna from heaven. He even gave them water in the wilderness to feed that multitude of people. It could be that God sustained Caleb in a miraculous way, physically, so that he could fulfill his dream. And so maybe Caleb is not exaggerating when he stands there and he says, I'm just as strong today as I was then, because God made me live. And he says, give me this mountain. Now, there's a reason why he said, I want the giants. Everybody was afraid of the giants, and it's the original reason why. the children of Israel, those 10, came back with a negative report. And it's almost like Caleb is saying, you give me a chance and I'll put that to rest. Guess what? He won that victory. Give me this mountain. Is there anybody here that can stand with Caleb and said, yes, we're ready for a challenge. We're ready to exercise our faith and be a believer in God? I think there is. We need to follow in his example, don't we? May God bless us to be that type of person. Have you ever exercised your faith in Jesus Christ? There are some sitting here this morning that have never said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that faith, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, trusting God for his forgiveness, for his grace, and for his blood. Do you believe what we've been talking about? God can do anything. If God can do anything, I suppose God can take away your sin, make you a child of God. You know, there may be Christians here, and there may be more than one. There may be Christians here who have been too timid, too fearful, and not really exercising the faith is the way they should be exercising it in the church. Don't fall into that sin. If you need the help of the congregation, if you need the prayers of the church, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.